둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
Got what? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Pew, 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 pew.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button if you're not already. I'll give you new ones just like this every single week at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please do give this series a rating and leave a review wherever you're listening from. We've had some great guests drop by lately, including Darcy Carden, to talk about her cameo role on the latest season of Loot on Apple TV+. Juliana Hatfield was here to discuss her 20th album, Lightning Might Strike. We talked with Lou Graham of Foreigner, Gobo Fraggle of Fraggle Rock, Sarah Bareilles, who does the title song with Brandi Carlile to the new Apple TV documentary, Come See Me in the Good Lights. Gaden Matarazzo was here. He plays Dustin on Stranger Things. Of course, they're in their final season. Felicity Jones, Carrie Condon, both starring in Train Dreams on Netflix. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, talking with Zende Murdoch of The Runarounds. He's going to talk about how a fake TV band on The Runarounds, the show now streaming on Prime Video, turned into a very real, very busy rock band. He talks about answering a mysterious Instagram casting call tied to Outer Banks. They had the same creator showrunners. The long secret stretch of years where the group was quietly writing, finding their sound, and cutting an EP with Jerry Harrison of Talking Heads before anyone even knew they existed. Zende also gets into some proggy drum flexing, like in the song Funny How the Universe Works, what it's like building the season one soundtrack in a sort of songwriting boot camp, and how the crew splits writing between songs for the characters and songs for the actual band. He also takes us into the latest single, Chasing the Good Times, born in a Nashville session with Brad Schultz of Cage the Elephant. He's been on my show several times in the past. We'll talk about the surreal rush of watching sold-out dates roll in and why, TV renewal or nods, The Runarounds are now a full-on touring band with plenty more music on the way. All of that and more. We're talking about The Runarounds on Prime Video. It's Kyle Meredith with Zende Murdoch.
How y'all doing?
It's so nice to meet you. And
great to meet
especially,
you too, man.
Yeah, especially during all of this. I mean, crazy, I'm guessing, is the word for this year.
Yes, sir.
Like that.
Yes, sir.
So there's a new single called Chasing the Good Times, and we're going to get to that here in a minute, but let's do the backstory just a little bit.
Yeah.
You're a musician who ended up an actor in a show called The Runarounds, which is also the name of the band.
Yes, sir.
Which could have been a fake band, but is also a real band.
yeah, exactly.
What's the short story? How did you end up here?
I saw an Instagram story about 5 years ago, five and a half now. It was July 2020. Our director Jonas has a TV show named Outer Banks that he's been very successful with over the last several years. And in the early days of that show, after their first season, was a big old hit on Netflix. He had his cast go out and put out like a bit of an APB for young musicians, kind of making it look as if it was looking for extras for Outer Banks for some kind of performance scene. Kind of purposefully marketed that way as to not, oh wow, we've now, the camera's moving. kind of purposely marketed that way as so that we don't get like, I guess, the Disney kids, as he described it to me. And so, yeah, I mean, I auditioned for it with the hope of finding fresh band members. I was 18 at the time and had just graduated and was in a couple bands that just weren't super awesome, super good. And I really wanted to play drums professionally. And so kind of like, that's cool in high school if like you're not like the greatest band around, you're just having fun. But when you graduate, you're like, oh, the band's got to get better. So I left the bands I was in and started looking for a fresh one. And my only hope when doing the auditioning process was just maybe make a few $100 and then like meet kids on the other side that would be really good at their instrument, considering they would have made it through the auditioning process if I would be lucky enough to make it through. So yeah, I mean, I auditioned with that in mind. I made it all the way through. And when I got to the very end, I got on a Zoom, kind of like this one, with Jonas. And he was like, hey, TV show? Yeah, I know that sounds crazy. And I was like, oh, wow. I thought this was for your TV show. And he was like, no, it is my TV show, but another one.
Right.
And he was like, you want to be in it? And I was like, you going to teach me how to act? And he was like, yep. Then I was like, okay.
That's the best bait and switch ever.
Yeah, literally, dude. Literally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you all start with, I mean, really smart the way they've built this up, because again, you mentioned Disney kids, and you can go all the way back to a show like The Monkees or something like that. Yeah. And to give you guys an actual base before the show, so like there's an EP that happens first, right?
Yeah.
And if I read right, like Jerry Harrison is who you guys worked with. Is that true?
It is true. Yeah. It was an awesome experience. I haven't seen that guy in a couple years now, but it was so fun.
Like, is that just like through these channels and connections that they're like, oh, and by the way, you're going to be working with the drummer from the Talking Heads?
Yeah, it was really crazy. The first few years of the project was really us just, I mean, no one knew who we were. We didn't have a band name until several years in. We were just kind of, the idea was just for us to get to know each other, considering we live in five different parts of the country. The idea was just to get to know each other, write some songs. Maybe develop a sound if that's even possible yet at that point. Yeah, Jerry was just a connection of one of the executive producers on the TV show. They knew each other from back in college, and so he figured it would be a good idea to just make a good little pairing there. We were lucky enough to meet him all the way back in 2021 and do an interview with him. And then, yeah, he took a liking to us. I'm not sure why, but we loved him. So we were like, all right, well, this is really cool. So yeah, he did that AP with us. We filmed it out at Wills College in California, USC. And it was a hell of an experience. Still one of my favorite shows to date. Yeah, crazy time those years. Just very like underground, kind of like this big secret project that you can't talk about. You know, you're telling people even though you shouldn't. And it's like, are you sure that's really happening? Or are you just lying to my face right now? Like, no, I promise it's coming. And then like several years goes by and it still hasn't happened and it looks bad. And yeah,
right.
Crazy time.
And we'll be right back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Mubi, a curated streaming service dedicated to elevating great cinema from around the globe. From iconic directors to emerging auteurs, there was always something new to discover. With Mubi, each and every film is hand-selected, so you can explore the best of cinema, streaming anytime, anywhere. like Pavements, Alex Ross Perry's rockumentary biopic hybrid about the only band that matters, Pavement. Starring members of the band, as well as Joe Keery, Jason Schwartzman, and Tim Heidecker, the wildly original picture tackles the mythology of the band, their anticipated comeback, and more in a fashion that matches their left-field ethos. To stream Pavements and other great films, you can try Mubi free for 30 days at mubi.com/COS. That's MUBI.com/COS for a month of great cinema for free.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Zinde Murdoch.
To play this long game like that, like we're going to create this band, we're going to let you guys spend the time, you know, figuring each other out, like really becoming a band before we ever even bring this up that it's happening. I can't name another time that that's happened exactly like that, you know? So
it is super, super odd. I think they did a very good job of like kind of like you said, and building it up, like taking it step by step in a sense that like, nothing was thrown at us because it's like such like an odd thing to kind of jump into. Nothing was thrown at us like right away, if you will. Everything was kind of done in baby steps. So like with the cameras, like first they just got us used to like being in front of the big old cameras and not having to really do anything other than just like play our instruments. And then it's like working that into the Outer Banks setting. We did an appearance on Outer Banks in season 3. So now it's like you combine the cameras with like the environment, but it's still not about you. You can just sit back and watch and just kind of be a part of it and learn. And then that upgrades to doing the pilot. And then it's like it's one episode, a couple weeks of like, okay, now go home and like process it. And then it's more shooting. It's, you know what I mean? It's step by step so that it's all like building. And it's digestible.
How did you all find your sound then? Like, where does that start to come from? Because you have the songs, not the original songs, like God, the soundtrack, by the way, to the show, like within the first 5 minutes, I mean, it's not even like scratching the surface. You hear Spoon, Dr. Dog, Led Zeppelin, Green Day, Jack White. The band is, you know, at their party playing Franz Ferdinand.
Yeah.
So there's sort of the indie rock idea there. Like we're given that template. Like, were you all sort of nudged in a direction, or so how did you eventually find your sound?
Well, we're definitely all coming from a lot of separate backgrounds. Everyone's kind of got their niche, if you will, or like what they grew up on. But I think the general feeling, because it did take a second to like, what is this going to be? When we first kind of met, we all brought in songs that we felt like might represent the band in the future. And the general feeling amongst the five of us was indie rock. Not that any of us were like exclusively playing indie rock. It's just that that's what felt like the strongest kind of like middle ground. But then again, like kind of a variant, our own variant of indie rock. Just considering that, like, I don't know, it's a tough thing to explain. It just took us quite a minute to kind of like put a pin down on it. And that was a frustrating process because you would end up with this batch of songs that were just so, so diverse and so broad. And you're kind of like, you know, this one's really cool, but it sounds nothing like this one, which is also really cool. And yada, yada, yada. I think we were given a lot of liberty with the music. We weren't really pushed in any direction by the TV show. It was kind of just like, they wanted it to feel as authentic as possible. And so then it's like, well, let's just let the kids do their thing and see what they come out with, which is, I mean, wow. What an honor to be like, you know what I mean?
When you're spending that much money in the back end on a TV show and you just be like, you guys do your thing. Like,
yeah.
That's trust.
It's an honor. And we're all 18, 19 at the time. And so, you know, they had heard stuff that we had written individually and just kind of put their faith in us. So it was a lot of pressure, but at the same time, it was just like really fun because we understood that we were in the driver's seat and could kind of do what we want with it as long as it is good music. And so we took our time to figure it out, and we used all of those trips that they were sending us on to just try and find something. I'd say we found our sound like maybe halfway through like 2022. But this is like 2.5 years in. It really started to come together. We had a good batch of songs, including senior year, that kind of really put like a pin down as to like what the band would sound like going forward.
You mentioned like some of those diverse sounds, and you still do get a bit of that. Like, funny how the universe works. By the way, man, you're playing in that song.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I mean, that's some crazy drumming.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it.
I
That's
believe
kind of
that's
you.
the scientific way of saying exactly what you're doing. That is some
Yes,
crazy drumming.
sir. Yes, sir.
But like that song, like even because of what you're doing, almost even takes that into like prog territory a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit, right?
Yeah, like where did that come from? How did that happen?
To be honest, like, well, Will brought in Funny How the Universe Works. So he's very much primarily to praise for that song. I think it's incredible. He brought the entire thing in, pretty much just as an acoustic kind of vibe, but upbeat. He brought it to me first. This is around the time that we were filming the pilot. So we were all living in this Airbnb together in Wilmington, and he brought the song to me, and I thought it was awesome. And so I started just like developing the drum part. I wanted the drum part to feel intricate and I guess like syncopated with a lot of the rhythms that he was playing on the guitar, since it is such like a rhythmic kind of song. And then when we got it to the rest of the guys in LA a few weeks later, we were in a rehearsal space and we had the idea of just putting that like kind of that big ending on it. There's a video of me running around like a frantic little chicken in the middle of the room, just trying to explain it to everybody, like what I think needs to happen. But luckily, everybody thought that was a fun idea to kind of go into like the big halftime rock ending. It made the song kind of long, but it's fun. So, yeah, I mean that was
Good
really the
live
entire
moment, I'm sure,
process.
too.
Yeah, that was my whole thought process behind it. It was like, let's have a live moment, you know, let's have like a fun instrument moment. And of course, the sing along, like, you can never go wrong with a nice sing along. So, I mean, yeah, it came together quick. And like I said, Will is really he's the mastermind behind that song, which is why he sings the entire thing. That's why he gets to
My
sing it, because he's
song.
like, it's my song.
Yeah.
We're like, you know what? You got that. You sound great.
And we'll be right back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Mubi, a curated streaming service dedicated to elevating great cinema from around the globe. From iconic directors to emerging auteurs, there was always something new to discover. With Mubi, each and every film is hand-selected, so you can explore the best of cinema, streaming anytime, anywhere. Like Pavements, Alex Ross Perry's rocumentary biopic hybrid about the only band that matters, Pavement. Starring members of the band, as well as Joe Keery, Jason Schwartzman, and Tim Heidecker, the wildly original picture tackles the mythology of the band, their anticipated comeback, and more in a fashion that matches their left field ethos. To stream Pavements and other great films, you can try Mubi free for 30 days at mubi.com/COS. That's MUBI.com/COS for a month of great cinema for free.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Zenday Murdoch. Now I see the guitar. Like you play more than drums, I'm guessing.
I can dabble. It's nothing crazy though. I'm a drummer for sure.
So that's what I meant. That's what I was going to ask. Like, so are you also writing songs and bringing them
Yeah,
in?
I'm well, yeah. You know, I'm trying my best, man, but I have to give the majority of the songwriting, bringing in song credit to Will, Axel, and Jesse. They have done the majority of that. I've gotten some stuff in here and there, but yeah, my expertise is definitely in just playing the drums. I try and help out where I can, and I'm definitely involved in the process, but
I mean, you can hear your mark all over every song. Like,
oh,
it's
thanks,
such a
man.
distinct style that you have.
It's very kind of you.
Yeah. Well, let's hear about the new song then.
Okay.
Chasing the Good Time. So this is the first song after the show. This is the first, I guess you would say, studio song that isn't part of the show, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. This is the We Are a Real Band moments.
Exactly, if you will.
Yeah.
It's our real band moment, yeah.
So that's, I mean, and of course I'm, you know, saying that in jest and joke and everything, but knowing that all this was leading up to the show, At what point did you all say, or is this still part of that grand universe where you're saying, okay, but once that's over, we're still going to put out music?
I think that was always kind of the idea. It's what everybody wanted from the jump is for you to be able to come and see the real band in real life. And not only that, but hear music from the real band. You know, it's such a weird concept, but we really wanted people to be able to feel like there's a real group of kids separate from the characters that you can come and enjoy personally in your real life. So yeah, I mean, there was never a time when we weren't going to release music outside of the TV show or go and tour it. It was just kind of like a matter of figuring out what songs were going to end up being a part of the real catalog and which were going to be a part of the TV show. As it turns out, by the time we got down to filming, we just needed so many songs that we, like, all of the good ones basically ended up making it into the TV show. There wasn't a whole lot of material left after we got done kind of fleshing out the scripts, not anything that we felt super strong about anyways. And so there was a need for fresh music if we wanted to release in real life, which was still everybody's kind of hope and dream after releasing the show. And so knowing that, we did a writing trip in May, basically the whole month, and we just kind of bounced around the way we used to, except this time we did it together. And so it was nice, like, road trip moment. But yeah, we just kind of bounced around. We worked with different people. This one we were able to write with a man named Brad from Cage the Elephant.
Been on my show many times.
Is that right?
Yeah, but, well, Brad's from Bowling Green. I'm in Louisville, so we're both Kentucky kids.
Oh, wow.
And Brad's been
that's
on
so
here.
Awesome.
Yeah, plenty of times.
Wow, that's very cool that you know Brad. Yeah, well, I mean, you know what a lovely man that is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brad Schultz. And so, yeah, what an experience. We were able to go. We were in Nashville with him and his engineer, Jeremy, and the song came together in one day. It was a pretty memorable day, as it was the day also, I think it was the day before that we were able to take our first look at the TV show after it had been kind of edited together.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
in a, like, a very rough cut way. So I have, like, a distinct memory of that studio session, those couple days, because it was, like, number one, excitement about this song, excitement about being in the studio with Brad Schultz, but also, like, excitement about sitting on my little iPad in the corner at, like, any open moment that I had and watching the TV show for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much of this art imitating life that goes on through your real lives and the show and this moment. I mean, it's called chasing the good times. It's like you're right in the middle of this moment right here.
I'm in the good times. I'm chasing them right now. I'm in the process of chasing them.
So you had a good experience with Brad.
Absolutely. Nothing but. It was incredible, and he was so patient with us. He brought such a fun energy. You know, anytime Brad liked something in the studio, he would just turn around and start, like, air drumming, just doing this thing, and just, like,
I can see that.
You, just deep in your eye, be like, "This is good, huh?" And he'd be like, "Yeah, Brad, this is good stuff, man." Yeah, what a guy, and he's been promoting it so heavily since it came out. Which, like, he isn't even required to do. It's Brad Schultz. Like, you don't want to promo the song, that's fine. He's in there promoting it, you know, making sure people are listening. Yeah, nothing but great things to say about Brad.
Who brought the song in?
Brad brought the song in.
Brad brought, okay,
he,
yeah.
Yeah, he did. He that was his chorus. And we had a ton of different ideas going that day. And he walked in looking cool as ever and said, I have this idea as well. And we obviously were stoked to hear it. So yeah, the whole chorus idea was his and we built around it, which is the only time that has happened in Runaround's history where it wasn't one of the five of us that brought in the meat of the song. So it was a nice change of pace for us in not having to worry about, like, do we sound repetitive? Because that's a problem with us, is we're always, always dogging on ourselves going, this sounds repetitive. We've done this before. It was a day where we didn't have to feel any of that. It felt fresh as ever. And so we were like, you know what? This is really cool. Let's just do the other ideas tomorrow. This one's fun.
So you got the song that could have been a Cage the Elephant song. Possibly.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, that would
be some universe.
In some universe, probably, yeah, that would have been really cool. But yeah, it has that Cage the Elephant, that sound to it, that feeling. That's what gets us so stoked. There's a couple guys in the band that have been listening to Cage just from a very young age. So they are particularly stoked. I was a little later to the train, unfortunately, but I'm still a massive fan.
Never too late for any band.
Never too late.
Never too late
Never
for
too late.
fandom.
Exactly.
Do you all, I mean, it really does sound like everything happens organically, as you're saying, but do you all consider the characters at all when you're writing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a lot of that. It's the writing process kind of gets split up into like songs for the show, and just songs for songs. There's a lot of days, especially during like early 2024 when we knew we were picked up and we knew we were gonna shoot. Because I mean, for a long time we didn't even know if there was gonna be a TV show. It hadn't gotten greenlit. So we were just banning it in the meantime. But when we really got picked up and it was like, okay, this is happening for sure, we kind of entered like song mode for the TV show. And so that was a lot more of a structured process, whereas like weirdest songwriting process ever. You're going into like, we spent a month in LA, January 2024, and every day we were kind of given like an assignment. Almost like you're like some kind of songwriting camp, giving an assignment for a situation that hasn't happened to you or any of your friends, but could very well happen to you and your friends in a very distant or a very near distant reality. And yeah, given storylines about stuff that's happening in the TV show, and you're writing from the perspective of the characters, and you're submitting that at the end of the day and getting feedback from the TV show side. So it was the only time that we've like kind of written like that. Especially in such like a short amount of time, we were banging those out really, really quickly. It was kind of like an everyday new song kind of vibe. So yeah, it was really fun. It was like entering like school at the start of the day and then like leaving 6 hours later with like a potential song. It's just like a verse and a chorus, demoed up real quick, and then like either the next day you continue on it or you scrap it and you start over. And yeah, we came out with like the majority of the season one soundtrack during that time, working with an incredible producer named Matthew Coma out in Los Angeles. And yeah, so that was very much about like centered, story centered songs, stuff that we needed to tie into the storyline.
And so you do a month-long writing session. We get this track. I'm guessing there are more tracks that we're going to hear at some point soon.
Yeah, absolutely. We're gonna keep dropping. We're trying to, as you said, put together the discography of the real band. And we're never gonna put some kind of like hard line in the sand between like songs that we can tour and songs that we can't because they're from the TV show or whatever. At the end of the day, it's all made by us and it's the same band. So it's like it's all the runarounds. But we just you know, we wanna keep stuff fresh. We wanna make sure that there's stuff for people to listen to in between hopefully multiple seasons of the TV show. So yeah, we just did Chasing the Good Times. I think we're gearing back up to go and do a couple more. And of course, we need to keep writing, which will happen, I'm sure, right at the top of the year. No time wasted. Enjoy the holidays. You'll hit it hard at the top of the year. We always do. Yeah, we'll need more songs. And so yeah.
Yeah. Have they said anything about the second season yet? Have they called that?
Well, we don't know anything at the moment. We've all got the fingers crossed. We all want to do it. Everybody involved would love to do a second season. We're proud of our TV show and we think it's really, really fun. And so fingers crossed, hoping for the best. I don't think we're going to hear much over the holidays,
Sure, I know how that
unfortunately.
part goes.
Yeah,
But
man.
what you have that every other show doesn't have is you get to continue regardless. Like you get to do this regardless. And like, what, again, what a gift, that is,
Absolutely, man. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's nice to know that that is always going to kind of be there for us. No one at the end of the day, no one can stop us at this point from going and doing the band thing. Now that there is a fan base of people that are just loyal to us and they're the sweetest kids ever. And so I feel like TV show or not, they will continue coming to the shows. And I mean, yeah, we were absolutely shocked at how many tickets we were able to sell for this next leg of the tour. It feels so good to know that those are all just runarounds fans. And if there's another season of the show, they'll eat it up. If not, they'll come and see the concert, and it gives us more time to play concerts.
you
So
got
it's
sold
a
out
win-win.
shows. Sold out. I was
Yeah.
looking at that Nashville. Like, I come down to Nashville. I was like, sold out, sold
Yeah,
out.
man.
Like, look at
It's really
that.
exciting. It's really exciting. It's the sweetest thing ever. It's pretty much all of our first experiences being in bands that are selling so many tickets. you know, we're all so used to like begging people to come to shows, and that's just like that's been life so far. You know, it's just like join a band and try and get people to like it. It's like always like been this like trying to pull people over. That's all I've ever known. You know, it's like it's crazy to be on the other side where you're like trying to open up more space to get more people in because they want to see your show and people are asking where they can get tickets. It's such like a just complete 180 from everything that I've known. It's special, man. I'm so happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, congratulations. Seriously.
Thank you, sir.
The music's great. The show's fun. I look forward to hearing what comes next.
Thanks, man. As do I. It's I think it's gonna be fun. It's a wild ride, and we're just stoked to be here, stoked to be a part of it. More music soon. And then hopefully season two.
Right on. Well, it was so great talking to you. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, man.
And my thanks to Zenday, The Runarounds. The music is out now, as is season one on Prime Video. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week, just like this one. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new indie, Americana, and alternative. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news, and trivia. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Tom Waits, Dave Matthews Band, David Bowie, Soundgarden, Nation of Language, Ani DiFranco, Nada Surf, Henry Mancini, Juliana Hatfield, R.E.M., Sonic Youth, Spoon, Snowcaps, The Velvet Underground, Pearl Jam, Leon Bridges, and my interviews with Brian Bell of Weezer, Jacob Dylan of The Wallflowers, and Louise Post of Veruca Salt. That's what you get when you tune in weeknights, starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. My address is always at Kyle Meredith. Please do like, follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
He's asleep. I can tell you that. He's asleep. He's not doing anything.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.